It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is Monday, March the 27th, 2023. And you are here live on and on radio. Bow, wow, wow. Oh, yeah. I was eating a Rice Krispie treat, and now my throat's kind of clogging up, so. Yeah. Anyway, before the music, I may have to pause and cough a few times or get a drink. That might be not a bad idea. Oh, no! I dropped the last bite of the Rice Krispie treat. Oh no. Eh, it's okay. The floor was clean. Alright, so before we get into the news, I just want to throw a little bit of information out there. I was reading Hacker News, which is over there at news.ycombinator.com, and turns out, if you're using Google Drive, not Google Cloud Storage, but Google Drive for your business, it's probably a bad idea. There is a 5 million file limit, like individual files limit. So if you're using Google Drive as a cheap alternative to cloud storage, hey, just a heads up. Looks like this has been going on since February, but you'll get a 403 if you've got more than 5 million files. And it seems it is still ongoing, with lots of people quite mad at Google that their drive doesn't work. Let's see. So anyway, hello! Should I up the volume? I can if you'd like. And shout out to Calm, everybody in Calm. F-Fog and Stug. Publius here, dealing with HR brain. I'm sorry about that. Joshua.m, Flipper88, Ratsu, Atomic Rights, and wow, all sorts of people. Oak3's out here. Shout out to Tobe. Tobe is going outdoors for DGC today, so you'll be able to see that in 1930 UTC. and F-Fog, of course, he needs a place to put his 6 million files. He'll have to find that out. All right. Boop. Close that. Okay. I've pumped up the volume. Is this any better? Pumping up the volume. Pump up the volume. I'm going to keep talking until someone tells me something, but we are going. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. All right, well, let's keep on moving then. So anyway, that was just a heads up. I didn't want you guys to get stuck. All right, so alrighty. So let's get started. First, death and destruction. It's all over the place, some in the U.S., some out of the U.S. And I wanted to start with a death that kind of makes me sad, because this is maybe the way that I thought I would die at one point. In Pennsylvania, a chocolate factory has exploded. A powerful explosion at a Pennsylvania chocolate factory known for making chocolate Easter bunnies killed a total of 7 people, authorities said, as emergency workers retrieved the last of the bodies. No telling if those bodies were hollow or not. The dead blast obliterated the facility 60 miles northwest of Philadelphia, a little more than 2 weeks before Easter. The cause of the explosion remained under investigation on Saturday morning, but officials said they believe it may have resulted from a gas leak. Video posted on social media showed how the R.M. Palmer Company building in West Reading, Pennsylvania, exploded about 5 p.m. on Friday. Early on Saturday, rescuers found a factory worker who had survived but was trapped. West Reading's police chief, Wayne Holman, initially expressed hope of finding more survivors. On Sunday, though, more bodies were steadily being recovered. West Reading Mayor Samantha Kaag said, "Please understand that this is a devastating loss, but we are truly grateful to bring closure to the families involved." A number were injured in the blast. Reading Hospital said it received 10 patients and transferred 2 to other facilities. The history of chocolate factories is littered with disasters. Some explosions have occurred when combustible starch dust used for shaping candies and bonbon centers had ignited. Last month, the confectionery company Mars Wrigley was fined more than $14,500 over a mishap in June at its M&M/Mars plant in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, in which two workers fell into a vat of chocolate. We talked about that when that happened. But yeah, Publius knows death by chocolate. Underwood is in calm. Welcome, welcome. and what else we got? Palmer's is one of the lowest qualities of chocolate. So, yeah, it's kind of a bummer. But, I mean, if you're known for your hollow chocolate bunnies on Easter, yeah. Anyway, it still sucks. Let's see. Three buildings around the site were condemned as a precaution. This does not mean that they are slated for demolition or uninhabitable, simply that there will be still work happening around them as we proceed, and they will need to be looked at further by structural engineers. Stug was getting confused by mention of Reading and not having heard of Palmer's. yeah, I'm sorry about that. Reading, Pennsylvania. Comma's full of energy today. Good times. Don't worry, there's still more Pennsylvania news for you. Philadelphia residents have been warned about a chemical spill in a river. Philadelphia residents are being told they may want to drink only bottled water. Fantastic for the environment. Following a chemical spill into the Delaware River, Bucks County health officials said Sunday that a leak late Friday evening at the Trinseo Altuglas chemical facility in Bristol Township. All of this is still in the United States. Sorry to confuse all of our worldly listeners using words like Bristol and Trinseo. They spilled about 8,100 to 12,000 gallons of water-based latex finishing solution into the river. Officials said it's a non-toxic chemical and no known adverse health effects have been reported. Of course, there's probably not a lot of testing on water-based latex finishing solution in humans. Mike Carroll, Deputy Managing Director of the Philadelphia Office of Transportation, Infrastructure, and Sustainability, said there'd been no sign of contaminants in city water, but officials can't be 100% certain. He called health risks from the material very low, if present at all, but said officials wanted to be sure aware so they could consider using bottled water. The city department said in an update Sunday evening that water will remain safe to drink and use at least through Monday, based on the time it takes water to move through the treatment and water mains before reaching customers. So, ugh. Sounds really gross, unfortunate. Another environmental disaster. And of course, this is, yeah, they don't think it's going to cause any health risks. I'd pretty much almost say 100%. If you can afford to drink bottled water or not drink the water, probably a good idea. All right, so that's what's going on in Philadelphia. But what about in Afghanistan? Oh, yeah, there's still people dying there. Hey, Ice-303. Well, goodbye, Ice-303. Welcome. Ooh, telehack. Stern's got some telehack privileges. Very cool. Let's see. Sorry, comms got a lot of stuff going on, so I'm just reading. Focus, we're focusing. Six killed in a suicide attack near Afghan Foreign Ministry. At least six people have been killed after a suicide bomber detonated explosives near Afghanistan's Foreign Ministry in Kabul, the second attack near the ministry this year. The attacker was targeted by Afghan forces, but the explosives he carried detonated and killed six civilians and wounded a number of others. Kabul police spokesman Khalid Zaldran said the suicide attacker was identified at a security checkpoint. In Malik Asgar Square, a suicide attacker, before reaching the target, was identified and killed, but his explosives detonated, according to the policeman. He didn't name the target, but the blast took place in a busy downtown area near a checkpoint that guards a heavily fortified street housing several government buildings, including the foreign ministry. Zadran said at least three Taliban security forces were among the wounded. However you want to do that, however you want to deal with that. Yeah, the Taliban has a faction of, it's ISIS, basically, ISIL. In January, 20 people were killed after a suicide bomber killed himself outside of that same foreign ministry. Let me see what the name is. It is, I believe it's ISIS-K, ISIL? ISIS-K, yeah. Here it is. ISIL affiliate, ISKP, or ISIS-K. Yeah, so that's who's active there in Afghanistan. Pretty wild, right? Poisoned to death. This is kind of interesting, and I'm glad Publius is around, because, well, it's got some chemistry involved. Let me see. I thought it was... it's a heavy element. Let me see what we've got. Okay, do. This element is has atomic number 81, and it's a post-transition metal that's not found in nature. When isolated, it resembles tin, but is discolored when it's exposed to air. I was trying to see if it was radioactive. There is a radioactive isotope used in nuclear medicine. There we go. All right, so what are we talking about? Oh my goodness. We're talking about thallium. Prosecutors in Osaka have indicted a man for murder using thallium, which was used as rat poison. Kazuki Miyamoto, age 37, is accused of killing 21-year-old university student Hinako Hamano last October by lacing her drink with thallium. Thallium was also recently found in his female relative, who has been in a coma since 2020. Just 1 gram of it could kill an adult, but police have not found a motive nor how he had laid hands on the poison. The suspect was arrested on March 3rd in Kyoto. Thallium's a soft metal which dissolves in water and has no taste or smell, making it hard to detect outside of a laboratory. Mr. Miyamoto, a real estate agent, is believed to administer thallium to Ms. Hamano sometime around 11 or 12th of October when he visited her flat. He told police they two were dining out on the night of the 11th before heading to her home for drinks. According to Mr. Miyamoto, Ms. Hamano's experienced severe coughing fits. He then contacted her family, who took her to the hospital the next day. She died on October 15th of severe respiratory failure. Thallium was found in her vomit and urine. The substance is strictly regulated in Japan. In most cases, researchers or companies buy it from specialists. In 2015, a female university student in Nagoya was convicted of attempting to murder two classmates with thallium. The same chemical has been used in lethal doses by the Islamic State group on its prisoners. Some countries, like the U.S., have banned it. Underwood points out, thallium is from the Greek thallos, which is a green shoot or twig. Oh, cool. And Underwood wrote a table of elements program. If you're in comm, you can check it out. It's there. The link's right there in comm. Hey, and Claudia Wim's around. Hello, hello. I hope you have a good one, and I hope work wasn't too crazy. Whew. Oh, man. We're already almost halfway done, and we're not quite halfway done with the news, so we better keep on moving. In Virginia, in the United States, mother found guilty of killing her daughters to get revenge. A 37-year-old Virginia woman who was found guilty of killing her two daughters in a bid to exact revenge on her husband. She murdered 15-year-old Sharon Castro and 5-year-old Brooklyn Youngblood at their home in 2018. While the mother admitted killing her children, the defendant pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. During the trial, the defense attorney argued that Youngblood had been hearing voices telling her to kill her two daughters. Youngblood had moved the jury to tears when she described parental abuse while growing up. Her father physically assaulted her with a belt, broomstick, and branch, while her grandfather sexually abused her as a child. She further said that after her parents left her and her sister in Buenos Aires, Argentina, she took to sex work, where she met her ex-husband, with whom she moved to the U.S. So, tragic life continues on. Let's see. Sorry, I was reading Medea. Oh, here. sure. It's not that I have called. Ah, we're dealing with Flipper 88 had a long post, but I wasn't able to. It's part of the conversation that I missed. So we will keep on moving. This is kind of sad for the Sikh community and for the world at large. Two people were injured after a shooting at a Sikh Gurdwara. It's like the holy building or church for this religion. The shooting took place on Sunday afternoon when the Sikh temple was hosting its first Nagar Kirtan, a traditional neighborhood celebration reported by the Sacramento Bee. The two who were wounded were taken to a nearby hospital in South Sacramento with injuries that were not considered life-threatening. According to witnesses, a fight broke out on temple grounds at around 2:30 p.m. when one suspect shot a friend of the second suspect. The second suspect retaliated by shooting the first suspect and then fled the scene on foot. He added that the second suspect, this is so hard to follow, is an East Indian man in his 20s or 30s. The individuals involved all seemed to know each other. It seemed very targeted in the fact that it wasn't some random thing, posed any danger to other patrons other than the shooting. So, very sad there. Okay. So, let's keep on moving. That's kind of a bummer there. Shootings are sad. Uh-oh. Accidentally closed that. Jack Ma was seen alive. Wow. You better believe it. Alibaba founder Jack Ma, who has rarely been seen in public in the past 3 years, has resurfaced at a school in Hangzhou. The 58-year-old has kept a low profile since criticizing China's financial regulators in 2020. Mr. Ma was the most high-profile Chinese billionaire to have disappeared amid a crackdown. He recently returned to China after more than a year overseas, according to the South China Morning Post. The Alibaba owned newspaper said he had made a short stopover in Hong Kong, where he met friends and also visited Art Basel, an international art fair. It added that Mr. Ma had been traveling to different countries to learn about agricultural technology, but made no reference as to why he disappeared from public view. So we'll see what happens here. When Mr. Ma stopped making public appearances, it was rumored he'd been placed under house arrest or otherwise detained. Yeah, there were definitely rumors swirling around he'd been killed or was being held prisoner or something. So him making a public appearance is a good deal. Let's see. Oh, there's another type of nuclear reactor called a thallium liquid salt reactor, which was originally conceived by a scientist at Oak Ridge National Lab in Tennessee back in the 60s. Let's see. Trying to solve homelessness. That's what we're talking about in comm. Sorry, it took me a minute to catch up. All right, well, what else is going on? Well, you know there's all these protests and lots of outrage in France, but something positive has happened. The town of Saint-Ouen? O-U-E-N. If you know how to say that, let me know. But the town of Saint-Ouen, on the northern edge of Paris, has become the first French municipality to grant paid medical leave to female staff suffering from period pain, hoping to break a taboo on the subject and inspire similar moves at the national level. The scheme came into force on March 27th, allowing the city's 1,200 women employees to take up to 2 days off each month, subject to a doctor's approval, without loss of salary. It comes a month after Spain's left-wing government passed groundbreaking legislation granting similar rights to women nationwide, in a first for a European country. Saint-Ouen's socialist mayor, Karim Boumerang, first announced the move on March 8th to coincide with International Women's Day. So, hopefully this catches on. We'll see what's going on there. Ooh, Oak 3 points out, Oak Ridge had, in Tennessee, had a uranium fire recently. I totally missed that news. Let's see if we can find it. Uranium fire, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Ah, here it is. It didn't make the big news, but it's here on ABC at wait.com. More details about the uranium fire that happened in February at the Y-12 complex in Oak Ridge. According to a Y-12 spokesperson, the fire was contained within 1 square foot in a place designed for radioactive work under a vent hood with a filter. According to Y-12, chips of uranium metal got hot as the result of rapid exothermic oxidation, a process akin to rusting. Workers attempted to extinguish the fire by applying carbon-rich material before the Y-12 fire department was called. Officials said there were no injuries reported in the fire, no release of dangerous material or contamination, and no off-site impacts. When this happened, the facility personnel used petroleum coke, a solid carbon material similar to coal, in an attempt to extinguish the fire. The spokesman said when the fire was not immediately extinguished, the fire department was called. After this, firefighters used additional petroleum coke and allowed the oxidation to finish under the coke. We're recognized as the nation's uranium center of excellence. We understand the properties of uranium and established plans to mitigate those hazards. So, very cool. Thanks a lot for the information there, Oak 3. And Publis adding in, uranium is pyrophoric. During the Manhattan Project, there were signs warning workers not to take bits of it home to use as lighter flints. But Feynman probably did anyway. what fun. Oh, man, we've only got about 9 minutes to go, so I better play a song if we're going to play one. Otherwise, we're going to be out of gas. So I will play a shorter song. I hope it's a shorter song anyway. You know what? This song doesn't really have a lot of words. It just has a sample at the beginning. But I like it, and it's only 1:52. So here we go.
This is my first time.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, which is powered by SDF. And SDF, well, it's powered by you. So thank you for being here, hanging out. If you are a member of SDF, or if you're a meta-ARPA, for sure, you'll have noticed, oh man, Nextcloud was getting beat up. And then we had drive failures over on the meta array. So I would just mention, hey, if you want to support SDF, you can always send them money at paypal@sdf.org, I believe is their address. Or you can go to the website, sdf.org, and find how to give money there. And listen up. At 1930 UTC, every goddamn day, is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. It's a fun show. We're going outside today, so it should be an adventure. And then Harry Larry is on at 20 hours, 20:00, for Mix Remix. And then Tuesday and Thursday, since Publius is here, I want to mention Tuesday and Friday, I think. Publius has a show, Hear Now the Words, which is a good time. So check that out. I think this week I think his voice is going out, or he's sick, so we might not have a show Tuesday. But just put it in your calendar. It's a fun show to listen to and check out, and lots of other stuff going on. So anyway, that's all the stuff. That's all the housekeeping we got for today. We've got a little bit of information from Moore out of Oak Ridge. Oak Ridge recently deployed a supercomputer called Frontier, and also has a history with supercomputers, so that'll be cool. And let's see, there were several different plants in Oak Ridge. Oak Ridge, big friend of the nuclear industry, a lot of atomic history there. All right, I believe I drove through there on my motorcycle trip last year. I got rained on. I rode through some mountains and got rained on, so then I couldn't stop at the Atomic Museum, or at anyway, there was a museum I couldn't go to. Anyway, let's keep on going. Let's talk about some technology. Twitter takes legal action after source code leaked online. What? Twitter has revealed some of its source code had been released online, and the social platform, media platform owned by Elon Musk, is taking legal action to identify the leaker. According to a court filing made on Friday, Twitter is demanding that GitHub identifies who released on the platform part of its source code. GitHub has taken down the leaked code, but Twitter has asked U.S. court to order Microsoft-owned business to identify the alleged infringer or infringers who posted Twitter's source code on systems operated by GitHub without Twitter's authorization. The code was posted online by a GitHub user who used the name Free Speech Enthusiast in a nod to Musk, referring to himself as a free speech absolutist. Musk is obsessed with the threat of Twitter being sabotaged by current and former staff, according to the tech newsletter Platformer, after a takeover that led to the immediate firing of half of Twitter's staff and the reinstatement of formerly suspended right-wing accounts. Twitter's workforce now numbers fewer than 2,000 people. So, good luck. You might not be able to find it immediately, but it's up there somewhere. Also, Lambda, Facebook's large language model, that got leaked onto GitHub, and people ran with it. Of course, Facebook is trying to get back their intellectual property, but it's not working so well since there's so many copies of it. But anyway, don't host that on GitHub if you can help either. All right, let's talk about nuclear stuff for a second. Let me make sure we don't have anything else crazy to mention. Yeah, nothing too crazy else on the news line. The only thing is just that a lot of people in China are running to Singapore. All right, industrial users are eyeing small reactors for power supplies. I think this is pretty cool. U.S. microreactor developer Last Energy has announced power purchase agreements for 34 units of its plants with four industrial partners across Poland and the U.K. Meanwhile, Finland's Fortum is collaborating with Outokumpu to explore the use of small modular reactors to power steel manufacturing operations. We mentioned steel manufacturing going green, I think yesterday, day before. Anyway, or last week, Last Energy said the agreement represents the largest pipeline of new nuclear power plants under development in the world, with 10 plants planned for Katowice Special Economic Zone in Poland and a further 24 plants in the UK. In total, the deals represent power purchase agreements for more than $18.9 billion in electricity sales. In Poland, Last Energy is targeting the commissioning of the first of 10 of its 20 microwatt electric micronuclear power plants at the KSSE Kilo Sierra Zero Echo in 2026. The KSSE is a special economic zone. And that's about all the time we got. So, Pocket Tonkamak, here I come. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. And every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Winston.